Are you tired of selling your kidney for a laptop? Do you need to take notes in your family WhatsApp group without your boss thinking you're not working? Tired of explaining something when you could just draw it and share it? How about that back end? Is it heavy laptop related? Let the Mesa Fundi come to your rescue. Hashtag freedom with Fundi. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional.
Put the action into transaction. Don't just be next level. Be on a whole other level. Do business with Vox. Get Vox Fiber to your business starting from 2,499 Rand per month. Level up your experience with uncapped calling, hardware rental, IT solutions, and over 160 other products to enhance your business. Work smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
This is Tech Central and I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm on a call now with Sipho Maseko, the Group CEO of Telkom. Sipho, welcome to the show. How are you guys coping with this lockdown?
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show, Duncan. We plan to cope like all South Africans. A lot of our people working from home. I think as of about around the 23rd of March, we already had about 70% of our staff working from home. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure that they have the right PPE. We try to give them the right information. We also try to make sure that the operations of the company are on the go. Yeah, and we improve on a daily basis like everybody else, you know. But so far, we are hanging in there.
Yeah, and what impact is it having on productivity, in your view?
Well, too early to tell, Duncan, really too early to tell. In terms of, you know, the metrics that I look at, you know, the network bar, the undersea cable break over the weekend, the network has really been holding up well, both fixed and mobile. Mm-hmm. We are expanding the capacity of the transmission links because we've seen, you know, phenomenal growth just in traffic being carried across fixed and mobile. So we're making sure that people are able to connect. In terms of our call centers, we had a bit of a glitch the other day because we share facilities with other non-exempted operations, so that kind of disrupted our flow. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's a couple of early days. None of us have ever gone through this as a country or as a firm.
Yeah.
And we continue to improve on a daily basis. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So the reason we're chatting now, Sipho, is that Telkom issued a statement a bit earlier today saying that it is, and I'm quoting here, stepping up the fight against COVID-19 with a new track and trace solution for the country's unique circumstances. Now, you've developed this with the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and the CSIR, and I believe Samsung is also involved. How does it work?
So first and foremost, how it works is that we have essentially taken our GIS tool, which essentially is a live tool, and we've overlaid some of the information that Department of Health wants us to have. We've enabled them to connect to all of the labs and automate that process so that they can get a feed of the results as they're coming through. We then deploy for every individual who would have tested positive, we help them determine what would have been the movement of that individual over the last 10 days or 20 days so that they don't rely on just the memory of the person. Mm-hmm. Because then that helps to go and focus the assessment and the testing. But secondly, if that individual is not disciplined enough to self-quarantine and that individual moves around, they're able to determine where that individual would have moved to. Mm-hmm. And almost beginning to build a bit of a heat map, which then says to them, this is where we need to deploy resources, both for either quarantine or test or some form of assessment.
Okay. Now, if this person of interest, if I can call them that, the person that's being traced, decides he's going to move around, what assurances do you have that he's going to take this cell phone device with him?
Yeah, so no, the cell phone is not for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
The cell phone is not for the individual. The cell phone is for the traitor. So these are frontline health workers.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah, these are frontline health workers who then are supplementing the tracking effort.
Mm-hmm.
So the traitors are on the ground. They will have these devices that were kindly donated by Samsung
mm-hmm.
to be able to remain in contact with the nerve center
mm-hmm.
Insofar as how they are doing. But the tracking would be happening almost invisible to the person of interest, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the devices will be used more by the traitors.
Okay, so you're not going to be actually tracking individual people who are thought to have COVID-19?
Well, we will be able to do that.
Yeah.
We will be able to do that. And I suppose the alarm will sound if that individual then moves from where they're expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
And once they move, the traitors on the ground are then able to work with them, you know, to make sure that, you know, they can determine the reasons of their movement.
Mm-hmm.
Are they being taken to hospital or not? Just what are the reasons of that movement? To make sure that there's the right response on the ground. And, you know, one of the challenges that we're going to see is that as you're getting more and more in densely populated areas, in fact, there's a case that was being discussed where an individual worked in Shenzhen, which, you know, in the beginning would have been the epicenter of this, of the outbreak of the virus, probably lives in Alexander, so takes it with there.
Mm.
For some reason, though, that person then moves to Limpopo, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to see who that person came into contact with,
mm-hmm.
because those are all the people that would have been vulnerable, and because they may be asymptomatic, they may not know that they contracted the virus.
Yeah.
Maybe they may not even know that the person they were in contact with had the virus. It helps, therefore, the Department of Health and the NICD to be able to do that kind of sweep and have a very focused testing approach
yes.
that would essentially follow the trail of this individual who had been COVID positive for a while.
Okay. So the arrangement with Samsung is specifically for the tracers rather than the end users, if I can call them that.
Yeah, yeah. So the arrangement with Samsung is largely for the health workers, the tracers, who are being trained. Many of them will be deployed really on the ground, so that especially in densely populated areas, in squatter camps and all of those sorts of areas, because you need people with the right level of skill
mm-hmm.
Who would be in communication with the NAB Center, which is the NICD, or different disaster management areas, who then be responding to some kind of calls from the NAB Center in terms of an evolving heat map
mm-hmm.
that you may be able to determine from the broad GIS tool.
Okay, so ultimately what we may move to once the national lockdown is over is possibly to localized lockdowns.
Actually, that's kind of where it will go to. So if, mm-hmm. for instance, there's an area that has not reported an incident, you know, pick a town, Kagiso in the western end, and all of a sudden there is somebody who has been shown to be COVID positive, and that person actually moves to Kagiso, you are then able to have a bit of a localized lockdown and testing, because the testing almost needs to follow right behind the lockdown.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, just for clarity, because it's not entirely clear in my mind, if there's someone who has COVID-19 or is suspected of having COVID-19, how are they trace specifically? Are they asked to put a piece of software on their smartphones? Is it done through the telecom network? And if so, does there have to be buy-in from that person in terms of, I'm just wondering about the privacy implications involved in this sort of tracking?
Yeah, so how it happens today is very, very difficult. And that is why there has been such a dispersal of many of the people that would have been COVID positive.
Yeah.
Just before the lockdown kicked in, a lot of the people who would have been based in Johannesburg who needed to have self-quarantined then moved in all sorts of directions.
Mm.
So if you had this tool already active. Firstly, they've been able to detect that, so you don't have a reaction of more than 12 hours or 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Secondly, if you look at the directives that have been issued, both by the Disaster Management Act and the different directives by COCTA and the Health Department, it puts a responsibility on the potential COVID positive individual to always make everybody aware where they are moving at. And that is why it is anonymized data, really. All that we are interested in is where did the person go to, mm-hmm. because this person would probably have been carrying the virus, probably even asymptomatically.
Yes.
Who are the people that person may have come into contact with, so that the testing teams are able to then go and focus in that area before the symptoms show themselves up. Because this thing, in a sense, is not tested at the right time, and you are asymptomatic, you may spread it without being aware. So it helps a very rapid response from a health perspective.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you look at the directives that have been issued, they give actually the authority to the Department of Health to be able to do track and trace, including the last directive that was issued. All of this is done within the bounds of the appropriate privacy laws, so that these are not breached at all during this process.
Okay, so you're comfortable with the privacy aspects of this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We are comfortable with the privacy aspect of it and how the data is used. You know, how can this be done in a way that is legal? And if you recall, with the declaration of a national disaster by the president, it allows for certain measures to be put in place in order to protect communities and other citizens. COVID-19, if you recall, was declared a notifiable disease, and there are therefore protocols that have been put in place in the management of information for these notifiable diseases. Now, it gets very complicated if you are dealing with communities that have some kind of vulnerability in another. So they can't self-quarantine. They live six in a room or in a shack.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have running water. All of these things, I suppose, that becomes even more important to make sure that the health implications of the moving around of a COVID-positive patient do not come at the expense of everybody else. There's obviously quite a lot of filters as well in terms of, you know, the information of that individual that will be kept out. The CSIR, as I indicated earlier on, does all of these modeling, has all of these modeling capabilities. They build heat maps. Working with StatsSA as well, all of those people broadly have this information so that we can help the frontline health workers to respond as effectively and as efficiently as they can, and resources can be directed to where there is a need at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. This solution, have you developed it in isolation of the other operators? Are you talking to the other players in the market about introducing similar options? Because you are, of course, one of four big operators in South Africa.
Well, absolutely. I mean, so far, all of the expertise and our contribution has been made as part of just reducing the possible impact COVID-19 on South Africans. We share and we make available tools that we have, and I think other partners are doing the same. They're making available their tools, their expertise, their resources where they can. I mean, I saw recently, I think, Discovery and Vodacom launched a sort of diagnostic tool that helps people self-assess. All of those things, I think, are very, very helpful. Because the sooner I know that I have the symptoms, the sooner I go and test, the sooner I'm able to self-quarantine, cumulatively it's better for the entire country. So it is not a closed system, it's an open system where everyone is invited to bring both their expertise and their resources. And the expertise that we brought is making available our GIS tool, because it's probably the most precise geolocation tool that you have in the country. Mm-hmm. Because we've got to find our cables to within 10 meters.
Yes.
And we've then obviously brought in other data sets to enhance this geolocation capability. As I said, it's an open platform rather than closed. And we interface with a whole lot of other people so that we can be able to provide the most cogent, the most correct, the most up-to-date information to NICD and CSIR and all of those people who are working with the frontline team. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does it work with any device, or would you need a smartphone to be able to track someone?
Mostly, I think, with any device. Mostly with any device. And I guess part of what the NICD and the labs are trying to do is to really enhance the information when it's gathered, so that once the test is done and it comes back positive, this particular process can then be able to kick in. Not just about where you can be found, but actually, is there an alternative person that we can find? Mm-hmm. Because if you are really overwhelmed by your condition, let's say you are at home, you're not at the hospital, you're sleeping, they need to keep on checking you on a regular basis and they're not able to find you, they need to be able to get hold of someone to say, can you please check for us if this individual is still okay, whether it doesn't, don't they need to go to the hospital? And that's where the tracers then come in, because then they're on the ground. The plan is to have thousands of them on the ground to be able to respond as quickly as possible, especially in those areas that are defined as most vulnerable areas.
Is the solution available immediately?
It is. I mean, it is available already, largely for use and access by the NICD, because they suspect exactly how it needs to be shaped and the CSIR and what sort of data do they need to look at and how do they then overlay that on their predictive tools. It is then, I think the minister will be making appropriate announcements in the next couple of hours.
Okay.
Or even tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Sipho, this isn't the first initiative that Telkom has announced. I seem to recall a few days ago, it could have been last week, you announced quite a large donation as well. I think it was to the Department of Health, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we pledged an amount of about 15 million rand, Duncan. That was in particular to make sure that the frontline health workers, so the nurses, the doctors, the caregivers, all of the people that are out there, we can also help financially to secure PPE that they will need, masks, gloves, etc. And this is part of the continuation of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm no expert in this, but having seen what I've seen and having listened to the minister and the experts, you know, I just think there's probably a difficult period ahead of us. So we're using that and we're partnering with the Red Cross, who then are the feet and the boots on the ground, who work with the doctors and the nurses to make sure that these resources are directed in particular to those areas of need. So that's a, you know, small contribution. Other people have done a lot more. And I think it's also very heartwarming to see a lot of South Africans, individuals or companies, urban or rural, you know, educated or not, black or white, really leaning in here and lending a hand, because it is probably one of the most indiscriminatory viruses you will ever find.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sipho, before I let you go, kind of related, I guess, is that Telkom has been going through a process just recently of consultations around restructuring and staff reductions. Has this COVID-19 lockdown impacted that process?
Yeah, so I mean, we've had to reflect on that as well. So the Section 189 process had been going on from about the beginning of the year. Mm. And where we are at is that probably about 2,500 people had already left.
Okay.
Because they chose their voluntary severance packages. Many of them, probably about 60%, were people who were going to, you know, we're eligible for retirement anyway, so that's happened. Mm-hmm. And having completed the Section 189 process, we will, however, suspend proceeding with the balance of the 500 until we are through this turmoil, which all of us are going through as a country.
Okay, well, great. Thank you for that update. Sipho Maseko is Group CEO of Telkom. Let's hope this lockdown doesn't last too long, Sipho, and that we'll be able to meet face-to-face in the not-too-distant future. Thank you.
No, certainly. Looking forward to it, Duncan. All of the best.